Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Candy. I am here with you on behalf of my Mindscape artist endeavor. You can reach me at www.mindscapeartist.com. And I have a special, special show for you all today. We're going to be talking to a very dear friend of mine, Dora Jones, who I am just so delighted to talk to. Not like we don't talk all the time, but I'm just excited to kind of go down memory lane with her, as well as, you know, come back up and, you know, pull all of this stuff together that we're going to go over today. But I really just want to use this show also as a means to kind of bring everybody in and bring everybody into themselves and away from all of the perceived chaos. We have had a week. My week has been actually pretty good, except for I do have to react to a few things at work, but then I quickly bring it in. So I'm hoping that the vibration and the frequency that we have here this evening will bring you all in as well, because we do have to maintain not only our immune systems but our spirits, and we have to make sure that we're healthy in this day and time. I have something I want to read, and it is from the World Scripture, a comparative anthology of sacred text. And it comes from the Polarity Relationality and Interdependence. I got to get my tongue loose because we're going to be doing a lot of talking in here. And this is all about bringing together opposites. And one of them is from the Unification Church, and it says, "Beauty arises from the fusion of extremes into a harmonious oneness." So today we're going to be talking about relationship to union, the journey from relationship to union, because many of us are in relationships. We're in relationships with people at work. We're in relationships with our friends. We're in relationships with our children. We're in relationships even with our neighbors. So we're in relationship with a lot of people around us. Another one from the I Ching is, "The master said, heaven and earth come together and all things take shape and find form. Male and female mix their seed and all creatures take shape and are born. In the changes, it is said, when these people journey together, their number decreases by one. When one man journeys alone, he finds a companion." So that's from another perspective, but it says pretty much the same thing. So how is it that we can have instruction, we can have philosophies, and we can have different paradigms that all say the same thing about bringing together people from opposites to complement each other and bring about one, a union, but yet it is so hard for us to do. So Dora is someone who really is good when it comes to breaking things down in regards to relationships overall. I'm going to bring her in before I introduce her any further, because to know her is to meet her. There's absolutely nothing more I can really say. So without further ado, Dora, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, how are you? Welcome.
Thank you. I am well. Thank you
That's
for having
good.
me.
I'm so glad you're here. I just want you to just introduce yourself a little bit, and then I'll chime in and just tell everybody who you are and what you do so they can just warm up to you a little bit.
Okay. Who I am. Wow. Female, woman, mother, human being. let's see, what do I do? I do a lot. And I have 4 years practiced being a truth seeker and just really searching for truth, wanting to live the best life that I could. And on the way to seeking truth and searching, I wanted to love and serve. Practice forgiveness and tolerance.
Hold on a second. I hear some popping in your phone. What are you on? Are you on your cell phone or are you on a landline?
I'm on my cell phone, but maybe my headset. I don't hear it.
Okay. It's just I hear a little pop. Do you hear any popping in mine?
I heard something. If you moved, did you move something around?
No. Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
Is it still there? I could change.
It's there, but I mean, you know, I don't want to. I'm not sure where it's coming from. If you don't hear it on my end, I just hear it when you talk. It's like a vibration popping kind of thing that's going on with your voice, along with your voice. It's like a vibrating. But I just didn't want it to distort your message or anything because you were getting into it.
Okay. Is this any better? I can change devices. I have lots of devices.
You can? Let's try that.
Yeah, let's try another device, okay?
Okay.
All right. Give me a minute here. And I will go to Stable Able Mabel.
Okay, I'll just.
Do you still hear it?
Yeah, I hear you.
You're still there? Okay. And you still hear the popping?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just a second.
Okay, so while she's doing that, Dory and I have been knowing each other for about 10 years, well, really 15 years. I actually met Dora when she was doing her radio, and she was just so melodious, and she was always talking about relationships, and I always thought that the way that she brought it all together was very interesting. It resonated with me. As you all know, I'm into astrology and all kinds of metaphysical things. And at that time, she was too, and she's evolved and done so many things. And I've seen her evolve into just these levels, and I always tell her she's always ahead of me. She's one of the few people that I go to when I need some extra advice, and she always listens in a way that makes me kind of hear what I'm saying, and so that's why I felt like she would be good at this moment, especially at this time when everybody is going, when we're going through this transition on the planet where people are still longing for connection, but we are in an age where we're kind of coming out of codependency. People are awakening on different levels, and people are redefining what union is to them. And so a lot of people look at it as a negative. I choose to look at, you know, the opportunity for growth and expansion. And I just find that this is an excellent time for growth and expansion with all of the different consciousness that are coming to light and that are waking up. And everybody's kind of finding each other. People are kind of bumping into each other that match their frequency, but people are also awakening to the fact that they are with people that they are not on the same page with. And so balancing all of that out, expanding in yourself while still remaining in union, and all of these things that we're exploring and going through, all of the rules now that have been changing with even the government being involved in relationships and in union. Religion is involved in relationship and union, and families have been going through these transformations. And sometimes when all of that happens, we forget about the basics. And the basics is where you got to get back to basics. You can't be so evolved that you forget about, you know, 1 + 1 = 2, you know. And so we want to break some of that down with the time that we have here today. Dora, did you get situated?
Yes.
You there? Did you get okay?
Uh-huh, yes.
Okay. All right, so, yeah, I don't know if you were listening while I was waiting
yes.
on you to get together. But, yeah, so you had been doing radio, which I told everybody, you know, caught us up on that. And we haven't heard from you in a while. So this is a special, special treat.
Yes, it has. I was thinking earlier, it's probably 10 years since I've been on air.
Wow.
I think it's close to 10 because at that time I was in the desert in Arizona. I think that was probably my last broadcast that I did. And then it was time to change. It was time to grow. It was time to prepare myself for the cycle that I now find myself in.
Mm-hmm.
And I am so glad, because I didn't have anyone in a body telling me that, okay, this is where you're headed and this is what you need to be doing now. I had to follow my inner guidance, and that was really tough without having comrades.
Right.
I have been without comrades for the last 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
When I returned from the West Coast back to Tennessee, I was without comrades, and that was really very it was very intense. It was very, I remember one day saying, where are all my friends?
Right. Well, where were all of your friends?
Huh?
Where were all of your friends? What exactly had happened?
I was changing horses.
Okay.
I decided to change horses in midstream.
Mm-hmm.
I decided to change horses in midstream, and I thought that they would change horses with me, but they did not.
Mm-hmm.
And
tell me about the horse change.
The horse change was moving away from worshiping what I could see.
Right.
And, tree hugging is what I called it. I was really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm born into it. We're born into that. And it's what, and I fine-tuned it. And I had a very good life around tree hugging.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was time to turn the tree loose.
Right.
I couldn't even have a branch to swing on. It was like cold turkey. But always before that, I had comrades. I either had a mate or I was surrounded by a lot of friends and family, even
mm-hmm.
though I was always kind of looked at kind of weird. But they, you know, they tolerated me because they would say, well, what is she into now?
Right.
Looking for wanting to experience truth. That was always the bell that I heard. And when it was time to change horses, I was in Arizona. I don't remember the exact date, but
I remember it too.
Oh, you
do. I remember when you moved, yeah. I was like, what is
you
she
remember?
Doing? Yeah.
I had to get to further out, and then I was in Arizona, and you know, I used to do just a lot of singing and chanting on air, and
yes.
Didn't really care about because I wasn't looking for approval. It was more a connection or a knowing or following. I wasn't trying to get to the mat or have a great recording career. That wasn't it. It was more of a being of surrender and committed
mm-hmm.
to what I now know is being able to coordinate what we consider or what we think is evolution, what we think is creation, with evolution,
mm-hmm. Okay.
Science, true science with spiritual insights.
Right.
And so not having this language at that particular time, all I had was, I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go. Mm-hmm. I got to go.
Age was this, if you don't mind me asking, because, you know, I'm into cycles. And
yes.
I think we go through cycles. And what age was this when you switched horses?
When I switched horses, I think I was in my 65th year.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I heard at that particular time was, You need to marry again, Dora. And I'm thinking, well, where is he? You know,
right.
I'm gonna have to make him. That's what I said. I gotta make him. And then I said, okay, just say okay. I said okay, I'll do it. If that's part of the growth, if that's part of what sacred to me, then I'll do it. And I said, the next time I do it, I'm going to be the sweetest wife ever. I'm going to be so good to him. He's just going to love me. Because I know how to be anyway. But now I know, at that time I said, I know so much more.
Like we said, the youth is wasted on the young and love is wasted on youth, right?
It is. Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
It really is. Because what we call romance in our youth is really fantasy. You know,
right,
really fantasy.
Right.
And you're usually in it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely is a guy in that fantasy with you. You're in that fantasy. And maybe your girlfriends or little friends, they may be in the fantasy with you. But
mm-hmm.
he's not coming into the fantasy with you, I'm sorry. So now how do I get him to come into a romance with me? Since he didn't come
right.
in doing the fantasy, he has nothing. He doesn't have any experience, not even a fantasy.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so the shift took place changing the horses, because I am a joiner. I consider myself as an interdependent person. I'm a we person. And to be without a village that I'd had on the West Coast,
right,
and not have it, it was tough. It really was.
Well, when you had this thought of coming together, how long had it actually been since you had been married, unionized, together with someone? How long had it been? Because I'm sure you were in relationship at some point, but being together, where you said the wife portion of it, when was the last time you were a wife?
From the marriage license ended in 88. And then I entered into another long-term relationship that lasted about 16 years. We did not have the contract. And it was similar to the contract that I had. What made this one different is there was no contract. So
right.
I think I functioned in that connection in a different way than I did when I was on the contract. We didn't have a contract with the state. Now I wouldn't do that again. Because you can't get benefits, and so you know you want to contribute. You gotta have some compensation, and so I tell clients now, if you're gonna donate, make sure you get compensated, and it needs to be in a form that they're already paid that price for the women coming after me. You don't have to do that one. You don't have to work that show anymore. Is you want compensation because you're definitely going to donate, because if you don't, he's going to move on for some reason. So having the legal and the financial contract has great benefit.
Right.
For both. It's for both. It's a dual thing that we both need. And actually, it's one of the better things that we have come up with as, you know, as sentient beings on this planet, as Homo sapiens, that connection there of bringing in, you know, having a contract with the state, because that's what the license is with, you know, with the state. And it set boundaries.
Well, when people come together, I mean, let's just be honest, people want to have sex. And we got to get into that. People want to have sex.
Yes.
People are attracted to each other. This is where they start. We like each other. We can't stay away from each other. So we might as well be together on some level, especially if you're young. I got married, met my husband at 19, I married at 21, you know, two kids, house, car, divorced at 31. And then you feel like, oh, well, you know, you have a group of people that say, you know, let's jump right back in, I want to get married again. And then you have the group of people like myself who was like, oh, I'll never do that again. But then as you get a little bit older, you say, okay, now that you realize that you do have the wisdom, now when you have the wisdom, what normally happens is that you it's hard to run into people that have that same level of wisdom. So you kind of have to, not that you're superior or anything like that, but let's face it. I did a piece not too long ago, a video piece. I haven't even put all the videos out yet, called The Problem with Solving Problems. And the problem with solving problems is that people don't want to solve the problem. They just want to go from one thing to the other, to the other, to the other, to the other. So when you meet people and you're like, okay, this can work, but you got to work it, you know? And then if the individual is not on that level, let's face it, you're not in the mood to show, teach, elevate, do this, do that, do the other, because I've had this conversation with people who are older in particular, who've been there, done that, got the T-shirt, and say, okay, what's next? And, you know, the ideal thing is to kind of grow together. That's always ideal. And you at least want someone with the same zeal of curiosity and passion about life and learning and growing and doing. But what you find often is people are still looking for the long end of the stick. What can I get out of this? What can I get? How can I come out on top? And there's a little bit of a competition there. And people still bringing things in from the past, unresolved issues, and their own opinions and thoughts and things like that. And so stopping the noise long enough to have the innocence of the child-like way of discovery, but yet integrating that wisdom of experience and spiritual growth seems to be the issue. So how do you close that gap?
You need two things. First of all, we are lazy. And we don't really understand why we're really here.
Mm-hmm.
We got all kinds of reasons why we think we're here. But when you look at the basics, bare bones, we are really here to solve problems, to learn how to become great problem solvers. That's why we have so many. And relationships are usually not on that list of problem solving.
Right.
We think it's just supposed to fall in place. I get with you, I see you, I like what I see, and we're going to get together, and we're going to live happily ever after. Well, that's not how it's set up. It's set up so you can solve some problems. They are going to show up. Now, if we knew this, we would choose differently. Because it is about choice. Would the male stop choosing because he's turned on by the woman that's ovulating?
Mm-hmm.
And would the woman stop choosing because she's turned on, for depending on where she is in her life, if she needs a financial sponsor or she got all of her money, she just needs companionship. So having the information or the insight to help us choose, first of all, is he a good problem solver? You know, these are our problems. Because we're going to have problems. Is he communicate with him?
Or her.
Or her, yeah, because it's mutual. It's on
yeah,
both sides.
Or her, because I hear a lot of men trying to talk and not able to, you know, you say you want them to talk, and then when they talk, you talk over them. So that happens quite a bit. So, you know, how both parties can have that reciprocity of communication, you know. So we're here to procreate. Now, what if we've already procreated? Shifting that energy of procreation to literally building something. When you and I, we talking, you always talk about the third thing. Tell me about the third thing and why the third thing is so important. Because we talk about that all the time, where you have I am me, you are you, but we need a third thing. You and I, we're not in a relationship like what we're talking about between a male and a female, but we have a third thing, and that third thing is spiritual evolution. Regardless of what tools we have, that we use, vehicle we use, it's spiritual evolution. Okay, so when two people get together, they've had children, because now this has been my thing. Like, you know, I've had the kids, family, all of that. So it's like, okay, what am I building with you? What are we building? What are we doing? What's the purpose? What is the third thing? So in your opinion, what is the most important third thing? I mean, many people can have a third thing, but from what you've seen, what is the real third thing that binds people together?
Okay, now we'll have to go back to the beginning. The difference is in viewpoints between male and female. It's going to always be there. There's always going to be that gulf. And it's there for a reason. The third thing is so important. If we're going to talk about intangible, I would say it's being available. Being available, and do you want me to win? Do you really want me to win? You know, for instance, Candy, you and I, we really want each other to win on our spiritual journey.
Yes.
So, okay, so if I get with someone, or I'm intending to get with someone, one of the things I really pay attention to is he available to me? And does he want me to win?
Mm-hmm.
So I think, because that's how I choose very close relationships with me, even that has no, they're non-sexual. If friends, can we be friends? So, there are three types of friendship. It's a utility. We just show up to do something. You're going to help me edit my paper. And you're a good editor. So we're going to form a friendship around your skills. And once that project is over, we probably won't deal with each other anymore. And
right.
Then there's the relationship around friendship, around because what matters is because friends really want each other to win. So that to me has to be that third thing. If we're talking about intangible, that friendship that says, okay, we're just gonna do physical things together. It could involve sex, if that's, you know, male, female, or it may not. It could be two same sex people. If there's no sex there, we just may walk together. I have someone that we walk together. That's all we're going to do is walk. Or you may have someone that you go to lunch with. But you're not going to share that. We're not going to that virtuous place. We're not going to that real place. We go to like, yeah, okay, sure, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. I hear you. But I'm not really tuned into you because it would be a waste. See, we don't have that. So discernment is key, and experience is a great teacher. In fact, it is the best teacher on this planet because we have to have experience. Availability. Are you
availability.
Available?
Are you available?
Yes.
That's very important.
Are you?
And when you think of people being available, what does it even take to be available? Because a lot of people act like they're available. A lot of people think they are available. But what is being available? What does it look like to be available?
Consistency in your contribution. Whatever it is you're going to contribute is, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be available. You're not going to have to sit and wonder whether or not I'm going to keep my word. If I find I can't keep my word, I will call you. I will get in touch with you some kind of way. Honest disclosure. We have a real problem with honest disclosure. And that's on both sides. We have these cloak and dagger things, like we're trying to con each other. Something for nothing, or nothing for something. And it's both ways. Males and females can play this out. This is not
all
just on the male. This is all.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute now. Do you want me to win? I need to know, do you want me to win at life?
Do you want me to win? Do you want me
do
to
you want
win?
Me to,
now,
do you want me to win?
Investing in partnership is a tricky thing because when you kind of come together and you're on the same level pretty much and you're helping each other up, I'm supporting you, you're supporting me, I've proven myself to you, you've proven yourself to me, I can count on you, you can count on me. We kind of come up together, right? Something happens, it's breached, we part, and then you meet someone else, right? Well, if you meet someone else, and this is the thing that I notice between males and females, and I have a male that I'm going to bring on in just a little bit also to kind of chime in here with us, male voice. When we say, I'm going to help somebody, that's pretty delicate, right? Because you're going to help somebody, but at the same time, you can kind of help people, and that can be a turnoff. It can kind of actually come in between you and the other person. And this is not just, you know, intimate relationships. This can even be your children where you're helping them way past their need for help sometimes. Maybe you're doing too much. Maybe you're becoming codependent. Maybe you're crippling them. But resentment can set in with anyone that you kind of go over that line with. And when you move in too fast, oh, I'm going to help with this, I'm going to help with that. And then the lines get blurred as to what we're doing. I want you to win, but do you want me to win? Then people start waking up to, are we really in union or are we just in a relationship? So what is the difference between being in union and helping and being just in a relationship and helping?
Well, now you have to define the two words because we've got different meanings. How would you define the word union and relationship? Communication. I cannot express talking it out because that's my expertise. Is that if we could talk it through, just through, and you give me your definition, because people show up and say we're friends, and I go like, oh, well, what's your definition of a friend? Because everybody got a different definition. So some people may think that they're really in a union. Just get in the state contract, the marriage license, which is legal and binding financial. It's to protect, and it's mostly to protect children from that union. And they may really think that they are in a union. In their heads, they really are. But for you, that may not be what you would consider a union. So how would you define the word union? And the relationship is we relate. Do we relate in a commonality? Some people get get along well, and they are like, they have great relationships. They feel that they're great because they're great sparring partners, and they like the conflict. They get turned on with the conflict. Well, that wouldn't turn me on. But they have a union in that. They feel united in the way that they relate to each other. And if conflict is competition. So where we are now at the level of growth individually, the union has to be a component of real facts about life and real facts, spiritual insight. Then so now we get away from just having opinions of how I think a union should look. Or you giving me facts. They may be facts, but it's not the truth. So what is the truth? So now we're back to, we need some education here. You know, we really need to think about real things. Not just my opinion and not just yours, before we move to what is considered from a place of wisdom, from experience, the union. How do we relate first? Do we relate honestly? Or do you feel that you can really disclose your most innermost feelings to me? And they will be respected and honored if I could I share this with you. So how do we relate? Can open the door for us to have a higher functioning of two people, male, female, coming together in a union. Real things. That's my thing. Those are my words for today. Is real things. And how do real things work? We have on this planet opinions. How many people on this planet? That's how many different opinions we have. And we have facts. And there are some facts that are legitimate. But they're not necessarily universal. They're not necessarily the truth. But it's a fact. But it's just in this environment. This is a fact today that we've had overcast skies where I live. But I can't say that that's true in London. I'm not there. I can't say that. Oh, the whole world. It's like what they said about Noah and the flood, that the whole planet was on the water. That wasn't true. Okay, that wasn't true. So how do we relate? I think that's first before we move toward a higher way of looking at union. I don't think many people get there because you get to live problems with all. It's that degree of honest disclosure. If I tell her, he says, if I tell her I really don't want to go to grandma's house with her, would she respect that? Or should I just say, I got a headache. Or she could say, I really don't want to go to the bowling alley with him. And would he still like me? If I tell him tonight, I really don't feel like being Tiffany with you. I would rather for you just to hold me. So moving past the deception and the dishonesty is going to take a lot of work on our part. And I think we need some real information about how we are really hardwired as females and males, and what a wonderful dance it will be for the two of us to find some mutually, that we become mutually dependent on coordination and cooperation in these perplexing problems that the two of us just have. You know, always we're going to have these problems. And, you know, we're not taught that. So
right.
The intrigue, the stimulation, the encouragement, the I want to assist you. I tell you at this point, do you want me to win? Do you want us to win? Do you really like me? Do you like the sound of my voice? You know, girls will say, we look up at him, and they go like, oh, and I would go like, oh, my God, he is luscious. Wow. I really like what I see. I like that. I want to get some of that. And I'm not saying I want to get his sexual energy. Yes, that's true. But what I'm saying now, I would like to explore. I like what I see. I really would like to explore that. And could I tell him? And then he tells me, he says, and I want to explore that too. And so being in a, well, here I go again, being a repeater. Real things. What has helped me to know that I was made just a great wife, girlfriend, lover, mate. I'm a girl. I like being soft and alluring and gentle. Just letting myself get to be lost in his caress.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking about him, I've studied him, so I know that I can be good to him, and he will love me back. If I say I love you, he'll say I love you back. Now we're headed toward union, because first we have explored, and here we want to go to do nothing in haste. So right now, as I'm relating with someone that's really helping me to fine tune that, and I was like, gee, I would like to say this to him, and the wisdom said to me, not at all. You need to say it, but I'll say it to him. So having that kind of discipline. There's a discipline that we need.
Discipline.
And it's called self-control.
Discipline.
Discipline
so
is very,
people leave that out.
Very important.
Yeah, people leave that
is.
Out. We talk about relationships. We talk about love. We talk about people making you feel free. Oh, I can be myself. And da da da. Okay. The discipline that comes in. I'm going to just read something here.
Okay.
So, you know, I told you, and for those of you just tuning in, I'm reading from the World Scripture Comparative Anthology of Sacred Texts, where it has texts from the I Ching, Islam, Judaism, Confucianism, and it's just like Hinduism, but they're all related texts. So this one is Judaism. It says, observe how all God's creatures borrow from each other. Day
yeah.
borrows from night, and night borrows from day. But they do not go to law with one another as mortals do. The moon borrows from the stars, and the stars from the moon, and the sky borrows from the earth, and the earth from the sky. All God's creatures borrow from the other, yet make peace with one another without lawsuits. But if man borrows from his friend, he seeks to swallow him up with usury and robbery. All right, now that stuck out to me because all of the universe borrows from each other, the whole universe. Well, in union, to me, it means to I can borrow from you, you can borrow from me, and we're not going to hold it against each other.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to, and now that first thing that you said, do you want me to win? Do I want
mm-hmm.
you to win? If you know that for a fact, then I know if you're borrowing from me, you're going to be winning, I'm going to be winning. If I'm borrowing from you, vice versa, we're both winning. The issue is coming in, people are thinking, how can I get something for nothing? How can I feel
yes.
good? How can I escape? How can I hurry up and get into something that makes me feel good about myself and fills all my holes and all my gaps, and it's just going to be like magic. And you get in it, and in 6 weeks, the magic is gone, and now
mm-hmm.
you're saying, you stole from me. Now I'm going to take you to court, not literally court, but, you know, judgment comes. And so now we have this defense because it wasn't established in the beginning that we're going to win. Win what? The third thing. Nobody's agreeing on what that is, if they even know. So I just thought I would share that. And I'm going to give you about 5 minutes on that, and then I'm just going to bring in somebody, okay, because we have, like, some callers on here.
Yeah, I had this person on the phone, and I can't get in. I said, your board is lit up.
Say that again.
He said he couldn't get in. He's calling the number, and he can't get in.
Oh, really? What's the number?
Yeah. Oh, God. I'll have to tell you in a minute.
Because we have a few. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to start with the line here, okay?
Okay, you're going to open it up. All right. Uh-huh. So if you want to say just a few on the third thing, I would like to pause here and say I am so grateful. I am so happy. I feel wonderful being on your show. Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad you're here. We finally get to share what we do, what we've been doing for so many years, just going back and forth. Yeah.
And I remember when, and this goes to the third thing. When you reached out years ago, and I was doing Blake Radio,
mm-hmm.
and I used to sing most of this because I remember asking Neil Blake about the show, and I said, well, can I sing? He said, well, Theodore Jones, it's kind of delayed. I said, okay, I get that. He said, sure, sure, you can do whatever you want to do with it. And I remember one of the shows, that's all I did was chant, I would sing. And then I thought, this feels very therapeutic, and it's healing, really need. And the way our planet, organic evolution, is so on, it's right on time. This
mm-hmm.
The evolution of humanity is about 600 years behind. So if we are 600 years behind in our evolution, think what that's really doing to our relationships.
Right.
Because male and female relationships are so essential to the perpetuation of the species on the planet, because we make people. And
we make people. How simple is that?
We make people. We make people. So we stop making people. I don't think we ever stop making people. So we should solve problems. We should start solving our problems around male and female that keeps us that stop us from conning each other. I want something from you and give you nothing, or vice versa. You know, we can just see that we are really, really PhD con artists, and we can really get that, and that we so kind of interact with each other that's so primitive. And here we have all this digital, mechanical devices, and when it comes to the thing that we're really supposed to do, supposed to be doing, we are ground zero in how we interact with each other, how we treat each other. I got to get you before you get me. Well, I don't trust her. Oh, she doesn't trust me, so... But stop it and realize it. We have a problem.
Well, we have about 30 minutes left. I do want to get some voices in here, and I have 0598. You're on. Who is this?
William McKee. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, William, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, and I've enjoyed listening to your awesome guests. And, again, thank you for having me on.
Well, what would you like to add?
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan of yours, let me start by that. But, you know, I'd say this, you know, I'll start with just a quick story and then a couple points and be out of your way. But this quick story, there was a couple, and the man said, would you like to be the son of my life? The S-U-N, would you like to be the son of my life? And the woman says, oh, that's so nice. She says, yeah, sure I would. And then the man says, good, well, then stay 92.96 million miles away from me. So, you know, that's kind of a snapshot of social distancing that we're going through. You know, that's 92 million miles away. Is you know, I contend that the corona is not the first social distancing. I think we already been doing that emotionally and spiritually. We may be in close proximity in space, but we're miles away oftentimes. Your body's here with me, but your mind is on the other side of town. That's how Bobby Womack put it. But just, you know, just at Winston-Salem State University, he was an Olympic trainer to many athletes, and he was our athletic trainer for our football team, and he used to say, unlike school, life gives the test first, then teaches the course. And he used to say that in the locker room, and we didn't get it then, but we call each other now, the old football players at WSSU, and say, wow, Mr. Taylor had it right, didn't he? Life gives the test first, then teaches the course, if you're willing to learn. So what we call bad relationships, as Dr. Wayne Dyer said, when you change the way you look at things, the things that you look at change. So I think we might need to pivot away from seeing these experiences as just bad, as opposed to they were experiences. And if we learn something from them, it wasn't wasted time. You weren't cheated if I learned from your course. Now, that doesn't mean you did me right. It just means the way that it turned out, I learned something about you, but more importantly, I learned something about myself. And, you know, I'm really big on self-assessment, which is the last person that we assess. You know, we leave church saying, Pastor told you, when it was me that he was talking to, and we never admit our shortcomings. We never admit our own shortcomings. My mother told me when she got divorced, she went out on a date and she talked real terrible about her, my dad, you know, and then the man said, okay, that's fine. What did you do? And I appreciated my mother for sharing that with me. And, you know, so I think a couple of the solutions just quickly are, you know, not being upset about previous relationships, but seeing it as a university of life, and that we went, not predestination necessarily, but we went through that. So what do I learn from it, and what do I learn what not to do next time? And usually we didn't do premarital counseling or even pre-relationship counseling. You know, sometimes just raising these issues and having an honest dialogue about it, you can knock somebody out of contention just by raising the question. We don't even cover these things. Like y'all said earlier, we want to go straight to the physical. We're physically attracted. We're carnal, and that's understandable, and that's the cycle of life. But we know that it skips over so much, and just like wine, it impairs judgment. And maybe we ought to sit down with somebody who we consider being in a relationship and saying, you know, like, what do you appreciate most about your partner and your relationship? Are you on the same page about having children? You know, what does spirituality mean to you? And when you hear these answers from this person, it may unearth something that could save you 6 months. Just by having these discussions. And if you got a spiritual mentor or a pastor that will go through these questions with you, I think we always have a pretest to know what you need to learn in education. But we skip all of that and just go right into it. And, you know, so that's where I kind of see we need to go just real quickly.
Okay. Well, good, William. Thank you. Of course, you and I, we have a date for the future to come back on and do our thing, and I appreciate you listening in. We got a couple of more people that want to chime in, but hang on, and we may be able to get back to you if you have any ideas. Also, I want to let everybody know the chat room is open, so if you actually want to chat in here, you can just say, you know, hey, I have something to say, and if I see your number, you know, I'll bring you in, or you can say it in the chat, and I can repeat it. So let's see. Okay, Anthony, you there? Is that who's on? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Oh, right on. Okay, yes, cool. Thank you so much. I've been experiencing some electronic difficulties since the beginning of the show, and I finally managed to go and get through. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for coming in. Welcome.
And I thank you for inviting me. Thank you so much. And thank you also for inviting your co-host tonight, Dora Grace Jones. She has been my mentor for the better part of over 20 years, and I'm calling in for the most part just to be in support of her being back on the air again. I so miss hearing her lovely, healing voice across the communication broadcast airwaves, and it is so nice that I'm back in this area now to be able to be a part of this experience.
Where are you, Anthony?
Well, right now I'm in Midtown in Memphis. I'm not too far from my mentor. She's out in Arlington. But, yes, I've been around the world for the past decade, and I was kind of out of contact. But I came back based upon what I was sensing and allowed myself to go and experience. And a lot of that was due to a lot of the teachings that I allowed myself to go and acquire from her. She's just a wonderful person. Overall, I mean, very, very wise, very broad in the spectrum of both thought, expression, and acceptance. I mean, for the most part, she's accepted me, and I'm most appreciative of that from her. And she's just a wonderful person. I, for lack of a better vernacular, okay, she to me is the greatest teacher I've come across in my travels around the world for the past 42 years.
I tell people that too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not aware of who you are, how your connection with her is, but that's neither here nor there for this particular conversation for this show. But, yeah, I basically just call in because I want to go in and express my love and appreciation for her and the fact that she's back on the airwaves now, broadcasting that wonderful, beautiful love vibration of hers to anybody and everyone who wants to go ahead and consciously choose to tune into it. You won't be disappointed. It's going to be a challenge. Because, I mean, I admit, okay, yes, I tend to be the apt pupil, but I'm also a difficult one to deal with. And she she deals with me accordingly. But I love her and I appreciate her, and I hope that you will continue, for future reference, okay, to continue to invite her to be on your show. It evolves. It evolves. Right,
yeah.
Now, this is the initiation. This is just a conceptualization. But be patient. You might be surprised. But thank
yes.
you so much for the call, okay? And hopefully sometime in the near future, we can correspond even more so if you choose to go ahead consciously to continue to be in association with her and incorporate her with your show and your network and associates. But I don't feel that you'd be disappointed. But then again, that's just coming from me. We don't really know each other. But I'm
Anthony,
an example.
You have said everything that I think everybody feels about Dora, though. You know, you confirm that.
Right on.
Yeah, Dora and we go back about 15 years or so, and I tell people all the time, people come to me for a lot of things, but I go to her, and, you know, the thing is when we're talking, I don't know if she does this with you, but when we're talking, and I tease her all the time, she'll listen, and then
right.
you think you said something, and then she'll say, oh, you think so? Oh, okay. So,
they kind of
you've talked yourself into a hole.
Yeah, it's like, damn, I did all this work, okay, and all of a sudden now it's like she tells me, you missed something. It's like, yeah, I kind of did. Okay, let me go back and do some more homework. Hey, yeah, is it okay if I come to class tomorrow and I have to be in detention hall for this?
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool with her, though. I mean, I enjoy it when she reprimands me, so to speak. And this is not in a negative, derogatory sense when I express reprimand. She's just ensuring, okay, that she is embellishing upon me the most pure, sincerest intentions possible coming from her, from what she is allowing herself to go ahead and receive from me. And she returns that in favor. Now, you can either take it at face value or you do not. That is your choice.
Right.
That is your choice. And I'm willing to take the challenges. I step off the cliff with her.
Right.
And a lot of times I'd be like, should I really be doing this? And it's like, well, you're seeking truth. And what you've been doing in the past, I haven't been working because you come to this point and she will guide you. She will guide you. She's not going to babysit you. But she will guide you. She will assist you.
Well, Anthony, I thank you so much for sharing. I'm going to get to the other callers, and you will hear from Dora. I mean, I had to, like, you know, I was like, Dora, please, 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 you know. So she's going to be back here.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you so much for that, okay? And
okay.
Love you, Miss Grace Jones.
Love you back.
Right on. You guys take care and have a wonderful, beautiful evening, okay? And be blessed.
Okay, you too.
Thank you.
Okay, hold on here. Okay, who's 9303? Hold on.
I'm just listening. It's a great show.
Okay. So you didn't have anything to add? Okay.
No, I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I wanted to say hi, Dora. Thanks for inviting me.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming.
And I'm just going to tell everybody that's listening to go on over to Mindscape Artist Group. We'll continue things over there. I'll also post the shows over there. That's on Facebook, and it should be on the description here, on the description. So, Dora, there they are. The Dorians.
The Dorians. Oh, my. Gee. Okay. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Okay. All right. Wonderful. This has been so beautiful. I am so loved. Thank you.
Thank you. Will brought up something really good. It was kind of along the lines of what you were saying, is being able to look at the lessons, look at the lessons, and patterns. Where these things are actually coming from. You and I talk about parental love and relationships and how those patterns influence us from the very beginning and how we have to work those things out. Some people are able to work them out with each other, and some people have to go to their separate corners to work them out. I don't think one is good or bad. I think we put a lot of weight on people doing time and not enough weight on the quality of the relationship. They've been together for 40 years. They've been together for 30 years. But the toll that an unresolved relationship, meaning that you have issues in the union, in the relationship, or in the relationship that should be a union, but you're not able to quite come together because you're not able to be transparent, honest, vulnerable, to be able to borrow from each other without resentment, all of that. And that can go all the way back to 3 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old. Somebody stole my lunch. I never got anything in my family. They always took everything from me. I felt abandoned. I never had enough. I didn't get what I, my mama didn't love me. My daddy didn't love me. Somebody doesn't, you know, love us the way that we think we should. We give it so much energy, and it turns into this big entity, and we walk around with it, and it's like, I don't love me. Nobody else loves me. Will you love me? And then we wonder why we don't get love. So yes, union requires self-love.
It does. Yes, it does. Can I say something?
Definitely, yeah. We got 15 minutes.
Okay. We got 15 minutes. Coming to a place of creation evolves. So you put relationships and relationships evolve to union. And as we continue to change, because we are changing. I'm not the person I was not even 2 months ago, because we are evolving. So relationships, there is a need for education. We need new symbols. We need new languages. We need a new language. We need new words. Some of the things that we all spoke about are just common sense things. We need a social construct. We need a shift to communicate. Motivated by a fear of being detected as being dishonest, perhaps. So the self-discipline, self-control, the self-demeanor. And when we think about regard for a union between a man and a woman, male and female, we're talking about monogamy. And monogamy is a monopoly. And therefore, these two people have absolute control with each other. And we are so afraid of those of words like that, but we want the benefit that comes from having that in our lives. We want the benefit of what it means to have a woman that is a monogamous. But in order for me to really benefit from a man that is monogamous, you know, he's monogamous and with me during the day, or to communicate how you really feel. And I respect and honor that. So choices, the union, I see monogamy. I see thinking like a team, trust, honest disclosure, being glad at some point she's going to ovulate at least once a month. You know, the guy said, whoa, this my time. No duty sex this time. She really wants it as much as I do. Whoa, I'm so pleased. So nature has built this in. So we get this reward. We get this self-gratification in a really, really what we would call decency. So do we continue to choose like our primitive ancestors? Or are we going to become these intelligent, ardent, sentient beings? Are we going to recognize that male, female anatomical construct is different, and it's different for a reason? I don't wake up every day ready. See?
Right.
He does. And I need to know this. All right. Mm-hmm. So there's a great gulf there physically as well as emotionally, and it's there for a reason. I got to carry the baby. He doesn't. So learn how to coordinate the mental, the emotional, the spiritual, and the physical. These are problems. These are big problems. These are shoes we got to step into. And as I say, male-female relationships are at the core of us perpetuating ourselves. We need each other. We're not going to ever stop meeting each other. When I'm in the store and I eat some heavy lifting, I look around for the man. Then I look around for the tall one because it's way up on the shelf. I say, yeah, I say, would you come get that down for me? So I think the dance of relationships moving toward a union, that dance is so beautiful. And I have learned only, I want to say, that was really painful. But it taught me, it gave me, as someone says, I don't love myself. I said, yeah, I know you don't because you don't love anyone else. So self-love is about loving others, letting someone in. People that if you can't get in, if you won't let anybody in, you don't love yourself.
Yes.
I'm going to say that again. If you can't
if
let
you
anybody
don't let
in,
anybody in, let's
in,
say it
you
together.
You don't love yourself.
You said
okay.
If you, let's say it together. If you don't
if
let
you
anybody
love
in,
anybody in,
you
don't
love
yourself. You don't love yourself because love cannot be contained. It has to travel.
Mm.
We cannot put it. It can't stay just in me. My self-love is to love you shows just how much I love myself. And love has no respect of person. It just loves. We want to heal what's going on the planet today. If each one of us could take just a few minutes and say, I want the truth about what's going on. I know what they say. Give me the truth. Give me love. Let me love the people that I see just one at a time. And I guarantee you, we'll find a person that loves them. But you just try to work on loving yourself. You're just going to get more. You're just going to get more self-centered. You're going to be so needy. It's going to take so much to do you. You just got so. I'm just so tired of people saying, "I'm going to do me." You've always done you. Aren't you tired of doing you?
Right.
I'm tired of hearing you say, "I'm going to do me."
Mm-hmm.
I've always known you to do you. How about doing us? Mm-hmm. How about moving, turning me upside down into we
mm-hmm.
with somebody? Can't you go to we for somebody other than you? The Creator wants us. I mean, this is really something that the Creator just said, I'm going to do me today. I don't like them today. I'm just going to do me. They're in the
right.
God's plan anyway, way off in no man's land. We could do the
mm-hmm.
plan. Turn the lights off. No, the Creator doesn't say that. Why? Because the Creator is about loving us. And that's what we're supposed to be about. At the end of the day, it's loving. Yes.
At the end of the day, say that one more time.
Mm-hmm. As yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So love the way the Creator loves. I want to love the way God loves. That was a song I wrote. I want to love the way you love. I want to love the way you love.
Mm-hmm.
And that is no respect of person. Just love. And then there's that delicious thing that happened between a man and a woman. He said, well, I'm falling in love with you. I love you. And then he said, I love you, God. Now that's music.
Reciprocity.
Yes. He actually said,
reciprocity.
I love you back.
Yeah, which
yes.
happens, which happens naturally when
yes.
you are in sync. And
yes.
when we're talking about love, I'm going to just wind it down or wind it up for
okay.
next time, whichever way people take it.
Okay.
When I think about love, right? Okay, so when you and I are talking, and when we're talking to people and we're on the same vibe and our vibe is high, anything is possible. We come up with great ideas,
yes.
don't we?
We do.
Say, oh,
yes.
God, we ought to do this and we ought to do that. And we're building. We're building,
yes.
right?
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
we're
yes.
not sexually attracted to each other.
No.
But we're spiritually evolving. And this is what people who seek intimacy need to look for when they're making
yes.
choices. Now,
yes.
we happen to run across them when we're just, you know, seeking friendship because we're not attached to any. We don't have an agenda. But
yes.
it's like the moment we get in the mindset of partnership, the agenda clause come out and it messes up that whole love frequency of building and creating. And because you neither one of us can have children. I got my tubes tied early and I'm not having any more. I don't want any more. But I still have a birthing instinct. I need something to birth, right?
Yes.
I need
yes.
someone to plant a seed. I need to nurture
yes.
something, grow it, multiply it, right? That's what
yes.
women do, right? So somebody
yes.
has to have a seed to drop. And if there's
yes.
no seed to drop, then women aren't really all that turned on. What are we going to do? What are we going to build? What are we going to create? It's so exciting. Let's get started, right? Now,
yes.
in doing that, sometimes we can get ahead of the game where nobody's dropped a seed, but we're building and we're creating. And then you look around and you say, hey, this is barren. Nobody dropped a seed, right? You know where I'm going.
Right. Yeah.
And then we look back and we say, I was building for nothing, you know. So it's like, it's just automatic. It's automatic. If you are a breeding woman, and
mm-hmm.
that is what a lot of the times people tend to overlook: building, multiplying. What we talked about before, building the house, creating the home. It's always going to be a masculine, feminine principle because I see it in all relationships. You're going to have the masculine, feminine principle. Even if it's two females or two males, there's going to be a masculine, feminine principle. It's going to be a yin and a yang. It's going to be an initiator and a receiver. It's going to be an initiator and a reciprocator. It's going to be a sun and it's going to be a moon. I mean, all relationships work like that, even if we have to switch places every now and then with our energies in order to get this thing done. What did I just read where it says the moon comes out, the sun goes away, the sun comes out, the moon. You know, we're always borrowing from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you get with someone who's barren, who's dead, who doesn't want to grow, who doesn't know how to grow, who doesn't even know what to plant. How is a farmer going to plant anything if they don't even know what to plant? You know, we're going to talk about that because you have been, you know about that. And I love to use the analogy of farming and planting and harvesting. And eating, you know, we have to always go through those steps. You can't plant a seed and then take the seed from the ground and put it on the table and say, everybody, let's eat. But that's what we're doing, right? So that's going to be our next topic. We talked about moving from relationship to union. We said we needed to be transparent. We need to be vulnerable. We need to be open. We need to be honest. We need to basically have a purpose, a third thing, something to build on. Now we're going to be talking about how to even get things started from that seed to the table, from the seed to the table. And Dora, of course, we are going to be discussing this, and I want you to do the honors and discuss this with me because the idea is already there, and I know you're with me on that, right?
Yes,
so
yes.
I'm going to let everybody know to reconstruct the world by reconstructing your mind. Everybody that's listened, join the Mindscape Artist Group. I will go ahead and accept everybody that's in there. You have to request it because it is a closed group. So I hope to see you on the other side and we can continue the conversation. All right. Bye.
Mm-hmm.